Luca, I appreciate the time. Welcome to the AHL. You're like a half season in, but what's this first year, this first go around with the Barracuda been like after a handful of years in the WHL in Portland?
Yeah, it's definitely different. You know, being more of a pro, being around guys that have been in this league for 10 years, definitely kind of opens your eye about like what the next step is going to be like in the NHL and stuff like that. But it's been great so far, a lot of learning curves, but just trying to like round out my game and just stick to some of the same stuff that I used to do in junior.
You're a BC guy, West Coast guy, so I imagine getting settled in California wasn't too hard, right? You're used to this, right?
Not used to all this sun. I mean,
oh, okay, all
sunny
right.
In December.
I'm you used got flip-flops to... on down there?
No.
not yet. You will.
But yeah, it's definitely a change. Vancouver's raining like all year round, so it's beautiful here. I mean, it's a nice change for sure.
You know, I'm just realizing how young you are. 20 years old?
Yeah, just turned.
Just turned 20. So that means that you were 16 when that crazy year of 2020 hit. And for a 16-year-old at that time, going through development of your hockey career, schooling, all that stuff, how did you get through that year? How did you make that year especially not a big deal for your trajectory?
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird year. I mean, I was playing E15 at BBC, and you know, playoffs got canceled, and you know, I wasn't drafted or anything, so that was kind of a big like noticeable thing for me to maybe get signed by Portland at the time, because I was listed with them. So I was really relying on that, and then it got canceled, and then everything just shut down for me. So I really trained because there's no ranks open or anything for a couple months, and
that could have like seriously impacted your career.
Yeah, and I mean, it was like a lot of honestly just going out with the people like my dad and just, you know, sticking with the basics and just trying to get along with it. And then like obviously we're still kind of in school, not really like online.
Right.
So I think it was just a crazy year, but kind of like when it started slowing down a bit, the dub came back up and I actually got the chance to go to Portland when I was 16 for that COVID like short year. So, which actually helped me a lot because it kind of gave me that momentum for the next year around. So it wouldn't be as tough to jump in the league. So it sucked, but it kind of worked out in my favor that year.
You wore number 73 at one point because of Charlie McAvoy.
Yeah.
What's the connection there?
So I'm actually have the same agent as him now.
Okay.
But before I even joined this new agency, he had the same birthday as me.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was kind of a coincidence. And I was like, dude, like this guy's sick. So I was like, I'm aware of his number. And then the Orr Hockey Group kind of reached out, like they're an agency, and then I joined them and he was a part of them too. So he actually sent me a jersey, like signed it and wrote a letter. So it was pretty cool. And yeah.
What NHLers were you a fan of? When I say growing up, I still feel like maybe you are still growing up. But who are the first NHL players that you said, I think I like their game and I'd like to play like them?
Yeah, I mean, back then, the game's changed so much. So I mean, like recently, obviously like the Hughes and the Makars have been like unreal to watch. But back then, I mean, I watched a guy like Bieksa, or like obviously from Vancouver, and then a guy like Duncan Keith too.
Okay,
so like those guys were my favorite. And then like I was a defenseman, but like watching forwards, like even like Crosby or Kaner was just like unbelievable to watch back then. So kind of a little bit of everything.
I was going to say, if you didn't mention Sid in there somewhere, you're too young if you can't remember the initial or maybe the peak Sidney Crosby days. Pretty good student, I heard.
Yeah.
How were your grades in school?
Pretty good. I mean, high school, I was like around like an A or AB, like nothing lower than that.
And
I took some college classes last year in Portland. The team kind of provides them for the past 2 years and like A's there. So I don't know. My dad and my mom are both in finance. So I was a big like numbers guy.
Okay.
So just kind of grew up running. They were kind of hardos on the school. So I had to make sure I was pretty dialed.
Do you think maybe, say this in a nice way, are you a smart guy or just do well at school? I think those are two different things.
They are two different things. I think I'm very street smart, but in school too, like I think a lot of it just comes down to studying.
Yeah.
So I mean, if I put the time and effort into it, like I can definitely do it.
Yeah. You should be proud of having good grades, by the way, but do you want people to know that about you?
I don't mind. I mean, it can't be a bad thing.
You're not going to boast about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. You also went through a pretty significant growth spurt. And from what I understand, it's why maybe you didn't get drafted into the WHL, which is amazing. You went through that league. Now you're here in the American Hockey League, and everybody's got some ideas about your future. We'll get into that in a second, too. What happened physically for you? Where were you at? The timing of the draft? Did you hear that basically maybe you got passed on because size alone?
Yeah. I mean, It was
because that stuff probably gets back to you, right?
100% it does. Yeah, it was definitely a size thing. I was like legit 5'2", maybe at the time, like 100 and
making me feel tall now.
Yeah, like 130 pounds. But yeah, I mean, my coach at BWC, my first year banner prep, Leland Mack, like one of the best coaches I ever had. He just kind of like gave me that like offensive role to take, and that kind of like switched my brain. And then the next year, E15 kind of worked out, because then I legit got like listed by Portland first game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But that like summer before like sucked. Like my old agent, whatever, like some things, like you hear some teams would be like, oh yeah, we want you this round, we're projected to go. And I literally took the day off school. I was like, man, I could get a call any second now. And
hopes were way up. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And seeing like your buddies get picked and stuff like that too, it definitely kind of hits you right in the heart, but just had to stick with it.
I mean, like surviving that day is a big deal. That could have been a pivotal day.
100%.
Or days, I should say. When you don't get drafted, do you rethink things? How did that instantly go for you? Or did it like, put the chip on your shoulder?
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to the chip on your shoulder for sure. But like when the draft like was over, like I was like, man, like I could be done here.
That's a terrible feeling.
Yeah, I was legit thinking like, what colleges should I start like looking at and like getting ready for like the BCHL in a way. But yeah, I mean, my dad kind of talked to me. He's a huge support to me, still is. He's just like, you just gotta light that fire under you and just play with that chip on your shoulder. And now like every team, like I went to Spokane camp and Winnipeg camp the years after, and they both were like, yeah, we might list you, might not, whatever. And ever since, like, I just, in the double, like, every team that I wanted to play, I was just like out for blood.
Yeah.
So.
Did you need a little talking up to get to that point? Did you need some people, like you mentioned your dad, you needed a support group to get you back on track?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he's honestly given me every opportunity to go out and be where I am today. So. Yeah. I couldn't give enough credit to him.
And so that chip on your shoulder, you said you're out for blood. I mean, we're well past you getting drafted into the WHL now. You're in the American League and you're knocking on the door eventually of the National League. You still have that chip?
Yeah, for sure.
To some degree?
Yeah. I still want like people, like it's weird to say, but like kind of like Portland has like that right to post about me. Like I want everyone to kind of feel like, damn, like we could have had like that right.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So. But still, like even to this day, like it's kind of like a model of my game.
Yeah. Well, there are some pretty successful undrafted players, even into the NHL. You and I were just talking about Dan Boyle moments ago.
Yeah.
Didn't get drafted into the NHL, wins a Stanley Cup, wins a gold medal. Like you can realize it all works out. It can all work out for you. The draft is kind of a weird thing. But I think a chip on a shoulder, I think it's valuable.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, I think you could carry that for several more years to push you to the next level, don't you think?
100%. I mean, it's always like that next step of what could kind of give you that fire. Even like NHL draft, you know, maybe you're expected to go higher than what you did. You get passed on by some team. So there's always fire getting lit, and you just kind of have to embrace it.
How do you take it right now? You're in the American League and we're in the same complex where the San Jose Sharks practice right next door, and you know, their staff, their GM, their front office, they're watching all of your practices here. It's not like you're half a country away or thousands of miles away. You are in the same city as the NHL team. What's it like to be that close to probably what is your ultimate goal, right?
Yeah.
It's inspiring, I would imagine.
Yeah, 100%. Just makes you kind of want it more.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you walk by and you just see them practicing and you just like want to get out there, right?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it definitely like fires you up a little bit. Makes you want to go harder, and especially when everyone's watching, like you have the GM watching you
right.
and the head coach at game, so you know you can't really take any time off. There's always eyes on you.
Right. You know, as I was watching Mike Greer watch your practice today, I was wondering, do all the Barracuda players like that? Probably. You're constantly under the microscope. But again, if you're doing well and you're doing what they want to see, it might offer you that opportunity even sooner, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. How can you do this and develop and take your time, but also not want to rush it? Don't you naturally, instinctively want to rush it? To your point, you see their practice, you know they're here, you've probably been to some games. How do you not rush this? How do you take your time?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you just see, like, again, like how close you are to being in a different locker
room.
It's
right there.
It's tough. But I mean, you know, honestly, it could be better just not rushing it, because you want to, like, get fully developed. You don't want to be there, get called up, and then be like that guy that's
not
a
ready.
Step behind and not ready. So in your head, you kind of want to wait for that moment for, like, when you believe that you're ready and could dominate there. You don't want to be there and just go through it, right? You want to enjoy every day and make an impact.
Last thing here. What's the biggest thing you've learned so far with the Barracuda, or maybe being in the AHL?
Just how nice to travel is. Being a Dub guy, like, oh my goodness. Like,
there was a catered meal, by the way. I just took you from a catered meal, too, which I'm pretty sure also doesn't exist.
No, it does not. Yeah. It's a little pasta bar,
Well, Luca, it's been a pleasure to chat with you. Can't wait to get to know you more and follow where this goes for you the next couple of years.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You got it.